From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, Jeffrey Wright will join us here in a bit. We talk a lot about Urban Meyer. Talk through the story yesterday, how people handled the story, how the story was covered, and what it means moving forward as well. We'll get to that. We had potentially a little bit of a mic issue. I'm not 100% sure if you're going to hear that or not, but it only lasts for a couple seconds the way I'll edit it out here in a bit. So if you hear that, just fast forward a couple times. You'll be all right. No big deal to today's show. Media Day is today as well for Ole Miss football. We'll have plenty of coverage to you over the next few days. It's going to be a little while before we get another written opportunity as far as interviews or anything. So we'll break down the schedule here in a minute once we get going on the show. But the show is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford, next door at the Oxford Crystal. By the way, there's a new Oxford Crystal Twitter account. Follow. You'll probably win some deals and see some specials through that Twitter account. So follow the Oxford Crystal on Twitter. Also, and go in and get the Ben & Cheese Bites. They were sold out for a while last week. They are back in stock. They're selling very, very, very well. So try them. Again, not a mayonnaise taste, not a sour cream taste. Just a really good cheese taste with those pimento cheese bites at Oxford Crystal. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are pleased to tell you that Clark Ford and MPW Digital, or whatever the hell we are, have agreed.
Still our name.
Is that still our name? Okay.
Yeah.
We have agreed to a one-year extension of Corey and the people at Clark Ford being our studio host, if you will. So excited about that. Have some more things to come your way regarding Clark Ford in the next few weeks as well that are exciting for us and will be cool for you as well. Anyway, Clark Ford, 662-257-1900 is the number. What you do is you call the number, you ask for Corey, you get Corey on the phone, and you say, hey, here's what I'm looking for. I did it last night on something that's way down the road, and so you get a quote, and the quote's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling, there's no hassle, it's just the quote. And that's the deal. And you can, at that point, you decide how much hassle you want there to be. You can call a lot of other dealers if you'd like. That's your right, certainly. Or you can take our word for it and take my word for it that it's a great deal. It's right to the bottom line. You're going to get great service after the sale. Delivery options, the people there are just fantastic. I dealt with several of them. When I made my Clark Ford purchase, they were all really great. And you'll like them too. And at the end of your deal, mention that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory. 662-257-1900.
Kind of a tease there with the information thing.
Well, you know, that's what
you've been called that all your life, hadn't you? Just a big tease.
A tease, yeah. I've gotten that kind of throughout life. That's what all the
girls, the eights and the nines that had interest. And
that's what all the girls have always said. I just said, you know, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Never any back-to-backs, of course. Saw this a minute ago. It's what the media industry in general is struggling with. This popped up in an email. I don't think you have any idea where I'm going here.
I don't.
New York Times, Edmund Lee and someone else reporting $120 million in losses for Condé Nast in 2017 and say in an effort to bring in more revenue, the company is selling three magazines, including Golf Digest being one of them. It's a golf email, guys, the reason they pointed that out. But the $120 million loss in 17 was a result of a sharp decline in ad revenue generated by print magazines. Gains in the digital arena have offset the loss, but, of course, not enough to make the company profitable. $120 million in a year of losses. And I get that's on paper, but that's still real, too.
When was the last time you read a magazine?
I get two magazines every month.
Golf.
Well, okay. They both come because of something else. So I have ESPN Insider for the online content.
Okay.
And I get ESPN the magazine through that. I never open it. literally
that was my
never.
Next question.
Yeah, I never actually open it.
So that doesn't count.
I bring it in and I look at the cover and I throw it away.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a smartass. My question was, when was the last time? I mean, literally, I know that that comes across like a real smartass.
There's something else I bought golf related, and because of that, I get Golf Digest and I will flip. I tell you though, I don't sit in the recliner and read it. I will flip through it, and typically, if there's something I like, a story, I will make a note to go read it online at some point when I'm doing something else, if that makes sense. Okay. So I have it really in front of me, but a lot of times I don't read it. I just put it off to the side and go, okay, I'll be interested in that. I'll go find it when I want
to
read it.
So the answer to my question is – no, I'm being serious here. The answer to my question is because you just answered it. Here, you're a guy who's – you're very smart. You read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to my question is, well, Neil, I sort of quasi-read one niche magazine – that is related to probably my favorite hobby.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was essentially your answer.
Well, and here's the deal. I mean, 15 years ago, me at my age now, 15 years ago, that sunglass comes in the mail and you're sitting down and going cover to cover on that thing.
Sure.
That's all you're doing. I mean, you...
I can remember when I was a beat writer or when I was with the Press Register and I would fly around, I would buy a Newsweek or a Time or something like that in the airport and read it cover to cover on a flight. And I can't remember the last time I did anything resembling that.
Oh, man. I mean, and it relates to newspapers, too. I don't.
They're dead.
I don't know the last time I picked up a newspaper and read a newspaper. I mean, seriously. I can't think of it.
Think about it. When was the last time? And you love newspapers.
I do. No, I used to read. And I still read newspapers, but I read them online.
That doesn't count. When was the last time you held? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking. When was the last time you held a newspaper in your hands and read it?
I did some stringing for the Daily Journal, and I went and got one just to see where they placed the story in the print edition.
Okay, but when was the last time you...
Well, I mean...
When was the last time you, for your personal entertainment or leisure... got a newspaper and read it?
I think this is right. Maybe forgetting one or two, but if I'm correct here, I went to breakfast when I was in Houston last year for the Minute Maid tournament.
Okay.
And there was the local paper standing there. Yeah, and I picked it up, and while I ate an omelet, I read the newspaper.
It's a really good sports section still.
Yeah. That's what I think it's been a little over a year.
Okay.
It's probably right.
The last time I did it, I was in Washington with Carson, and I got a Washington Post.
Yeah, I did not read a newspaper the entire time I was in D.C.
Was it? And I love newspapers.
Well, because your phone is even taking away the ability to read magazines in the doctor's office or something. You're not picking those up. You're just going to sit on your phone and do whatever you'd have been doing if you're sitting somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm trying not to like do something where it sounds like I'm taking a shot at a quasi-competitor because I'm not.
Yeah.
But... used to when you sat in a doctor's office or whatnot, you would read a magazine. Now you just, like you said, you have your phone. I don't see how they survive. I don't think they do. Things change.
You just think it's dead.
Yes.
Because, and we've dealt with this to a certain extent. I mean, the podcast, no, because the podcast is still a growing medium, a thing that has not got anywhere near peak yet. I still think there's a lot of business owners out there that haven't fully understood the effect that podcasts can have on their businesses. So that's not a good example. But from an online perspective, I mean, we have a hard time struggling. We have a struggle. We would be very, very hard-pressed to sell digital ads if they did not include podcast spots. If you just said, hey, here's a static ad on the website. You don't get anything profitable out of that.
No.
Relatively to other things.
No.
So, yeah, you mean newspapers aren't replacing print revenue as far as advertising with digital. It just doesn't even work. It's nowhere in the same ballpark of being the same thing. So,
our advertising works because it's multimedia.
Yeah, it's podcast.
It primarily works because it's podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, they like a podcast. You're loyal to listeners.
It's mobile.
I listen to a couple.
You're eating, you're working out, yeah. You're driving, you're doing whatever. That's what you're doing.
I have some, and Carson has a bunch of them because I just let him get them. One of the podcasts I listen to is sponsored by a t-shirt company in part.
You bought the t-shirts.
And they have a deal where you pay like $6 a month and you get a t-shirt every month.
Oh, is it that cheap? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like nothing.
And you don't know what it is you're getting every month.
No, you just get it. And sometimes it's cool. Sometimes it's not.
So you don't wear all of them?
No. A couple I really like. Whatever. It's just, but it's kind of what you do. I mean, you're just like, I like these guys. I'll support them.
Ole Miss basketball headed to Canada on Saturday, I believe, is when they're leaving. They're playing like five games. Two of them are being streamed, by the way. We were discussing a few weeks ago about whether or not that would be the case, and it is. The one in Ottawa and then one somewhere else will be available online, so people to watch at least a couple games in the first week of Kermit Davis being on the court against someone else on the Ole Miss bench. So those will be available, and since it's in Canada, the time zones will be friendly, and you don't have to get up in the middle of the night or anything like that. Should be very manageable for you. I also heard maybe Duke is making the same trip the week after Ole Miss and playing a lot of the same teams, I think I was told by somebody. So anyway, it's a, you know, you can do it every so often, and this is definitely a good year for Kermit to do it. He gets to learn about his team a little bit. He gets to see the guys in action. He gets to play with rotations in games that do not matter in the slightest. So it's going to be a good learning experience for him and the players, and frankly for the players and him as well, to understand his management style, because while he probably will not be as intense as he is when LSU or State comes to the pavilion, you're at least competing and on the floor and trying to get something accomplished.
If they're trailing early, is there a fire Kermit thread that immediately pops up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ottawa gets up like 18-8 or something, and
that's
you miss a couple
sign.
Threes.
That's
and
a sign. What have you been doing all summer? I mean, anyway, we talked to Kermit today. I will throw some video up. I think we're going to have a brief practice viewing opportunity. I will try to throw a little rudimentary video up from that, and then I've got to get over to football, and then I will try to write basketball with some degree of context tomorrow. That's my plan.
I mentioned this with Jeffrey. I don't think this part will be cut, but it might be, honestly, because of our headphone issue. Legalized sports betting has begun in Mississippi. Mississippi became the fourth state in the nation Wednesday to offer sports wagering. The other ones are Nevada, Delaware, and New Jersey. The first bets in Mississippi were simultaneously taken at noon yesterday at the Beau Rivage Resort on the Gulf Coast and its sister property, the Gold Strike Casino Resort in Tunica. Willis McGahey was in attendance at the Beau Rivage for the opening yesterday of the sports book. So the legalization comes 26 years to the day after Isla Capri and Biloxi became the first legal casino in the state in August 1st of 1992. So 26 years after casinos, they've now added sports books at least two casinos in the state. So anyway, little update there. Again, as I talked with Jeffrey, it's a tourist thing, but hey, it's money and it's revenue you weren't getting before yesterday, so all for it.
Of course. I mean, whatever they produce is more than zero.
Well, yeah, like yesterday, they brought in something. I don't know what yesterday was, but they brought in something.
It was a net gain compared to previous days.
Unless they lost every bet.
Yeah, they don't lose every bet.
No.
That's why the buildings in Vegas are really nice.
Straight cash.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm eager to see it. I'll spend a day.
Sure.
Why not? I mean,
they should have us up for a remote.
They should.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Play some golf.
Yeah. I'll ride around in your cart.
You can ride in the cart and drink beer.
I could. I'm good at it.
You can knock that out.
I'm awesome.
Wouldn't be a problem.
Multitasking.
Do you want your scorecard from December, by the way? I stumbled across it in my office a couple days ago. Would you like to get it framed or keep it or anything?
I don't know about framed.
Okay.
I don't know that it was that.
It was laying in a drawer, and I went, oh, there's that. So.
That was interesting.
Interesting?
Yeah. It was cold out there at first, too.
I'm a little surprised it didn't give you a little bug, honestly, of wanting to continue.
I just don't have the time. And I know I don't have the time.
And you have less time now than you've ever had.
Yeah, and I'm doing some freelance radio.
That's what I meant.
And I just don't have time. Like, I'm doing a three-hour show today from 11 to 2, and tomorrow from 11 to 2. I don't have time.
Who's out today? What are you filling in for?
John and Jason.
Okay.
The midday show. It's kind of a really Memphis-oriented show, so I'm coming in and doing a lot of stuff that's not particularly Memphis-oriented and probably pissing a lot of people off. So we'll see how it works. It's not because I don't like Memphis. It's because I just don't know anybody at the University of Memphis.
So you're, for some reason, Jeffrey could not hear you very well while we're talking to Jeffrey here in a little bit. You got a few questions in, but it happened with the Urban Meyer stuff right around the time you and I were finishing the podcast yesterday. When you first see it, what's going through your mind? What was sort of your first reaction to
that? That he would be fired. Didn't mean to interrupt you, sorry. My thought was he would be fired. I don't think it's recoverable. I don't think he can survive. I don't think he can recruit ever again anywhere. The story is damning. The photos, as always, are stunningly damning. The text messages between Zach Smith's ex-wife and Shelly Meyer, Urban's wife, are irrefutable. I enjoyed watching some of the mental gymnastics on the Ohio State Rivals board yesterday. Fandom is a fascinating thing. I do it with the Cubs. I get it. I understand it. I'm not making fun. It's just, but when people
from the outside looking in, yeah, it's
I don't care about Ohio State one way or the other, and I read it, I'm like, holy cow, man, these people are trying to like come up with all these explanations. You to believe, and I said this on the podcast, but I'll say it again in the interview with Jeffrey, to believe that Urban Meyer didn't know, to believe that he did not know, you absolutely must believe that Shelly Meyer knew that one of the coaches on her husband's staff was beating the, forgive my language for a minute, beating the shit out of his wife with his kids there. With his two kids there. Not that beating the hell out of your wife is not bad in and of itself, but doing it with your kids there is like, takes you to another level of hell.
Yeah, there's an additional layer there.
I mean, you go get back in the elevator and go down further at that point, I think. That's how that works. You have to believe that Shelly Meyer knew that, and she did. There's proof that she did, Chase. And that she, for 3 years, did not tell her husband. And you must believe that the other wives on the coaching staff, and let me let you guys in on something. You guys probably already know this because you're a fan enough to be listening to this podcast. Coaches' wives typically on a staff, and I'm sure they're cliques within the clique, and I'm sure not everybody's always crazy about each other because that's kind of how it works, but they're together a lot. They see each other a lot. They typically become friends because they're the only people out there that can sort of understand their lives. Your husband's gone a lot. Like Ole Miss reports tonight. Technically reports, end quote, tonight. They practice tomorrow. So tomorrow, Matt Luke and his staff will have a football practice. At the end of that practice, they'll have meetings. At the end of those meetings, they'll go eat together. Then they will go watch film of the practice and put together the practice report for the next day's practice. And then they'll do it all again. They're getting home at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night.
And back in the office at 7 a.m. the next
kids
morning.
Are asleep. The wife might wait up for you a little bit, but let's keep this real. I mean, you're not getting a lot of quality time there. You're certainly not getting a lot of, hey, let's sit down and have a conversation. And
she's probably waiting up on you the first day or the second.
And then after a while, it's, becomes, hey, right. You know, I'm going to sleep through your shower and try not to wake me up. I'll see you in the morning. That's their season. Then there's recruiting, and a lot of times the wives are involved in the recruiting. The kids come to a house or whatnot, and there's just to believe that Urban Meyer didn't know, you have to believe that every wife on that staff did not tell her husband, and if she did tell her husband, the husband did not mention it to his boss.
It defies every bit of logic.
I mean, I guess that is possible. It is also possible that later today I will be leaving for Chicago to replace Joe Maddon as the manager. We play the Padres tonight at 7. I'm going to throw Mike Montgomery. I've already done my appropriate deodorant strokes for the evening. We're ready to roll. I mean,
what number is Mike Montgomery?
38.
38?
I'm well deodorized.
Can they not, like, you really need the Cubs to have some starting pitchers at like 4.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
2.
Yeah.
And 6.
Yeah. Number 7 would be nice.
38. Like,
Jose Quintana is just a nightmare that day.
60?
62.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sometimes I'll divide it up and do 31 on each, but then...
Then you feel bad about it, and you go, hey, that's not the rule.
That's not the rule, yeah. So anyway, I mean, I guess that's conceivable that I'm the manager of the Cubs, but it's about the same chance that we have of Urban Meyer not knowing. There's no way, Chase, that he doesn't know. It's inconceivable that he doesn't know. And the people that are clinging to this, well, you have to prove it. Okay, for the love of God.
You used more than 70 deodorant strokes this morning.
Yeah, 76.
Okay. Sorry, I got
smell,
stuck on that.
I smell great.
What scent? What are you using?
I use Degree often.
Okay. You have multiple types in there, though? Well, you probably need some backup as much as you
yeah,
use.
Yeah, I don't ever just rely on one.
You really not?
No, I really don't, because it might break. You need a new one.
I would think you'd almost have to go scent free with that many strokes, though, because if you did some sort of like flower smell, you're like you would literally taste like, I mean, you would smell like roses or like a rainforest or something during the day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, worse things to smell like than roses or a rainforest.
It's just kind of it's a weird thing. It's a really weird thing.
I admit it.
Like it would like make a book of weird sports things.
Yes.
You got to stop at some point.
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that.
Like I said, just thank goodness it wasn't like aerosol spray.
Maybe one more World Series.
Where it was like,
I quit.
Oh, you got to make 36 sprays on each
other. Oh, yeah, it'd be bad for the environment.
It's true. You would like create an ozone problem yourself.
Yeah. I would by myself lead the global warming. The Meyer thing, do you agree with me?
Yeah, look, there is... I
it defies logic.
Vic, say, I understand what you mean by yes, there's a chance. There is no chance.
Of course
not. There is a zero chance that happened. Just human nature from a gossip standpoint, or, you know, because look, number one, it's your livelihood, so you're even more likely to tell them. But even beyond that, I mean, come on.
Let's get real. Shelly Meyer got those texts.
Shelly Meyer has been complicit in all of Urban's crap for however long they've been married.
Shelly Meyer got that text. And the first call she made was to her husband. She almost
Which, if we have the dates on the text, we're going to prove with some FOIs at some point through some phone records.
Yes. She almost
certainly. Because she's a state employee.
Yes. She's a nurse, a registered nurse. She violated Title IX. That part's undeniable. She picked up her phone and texted her husband immediately with something along the lines of, we've got a problem.
Yeah, call me now.
Call me ASAP. I don't care what you're doing. Drop it and call me. We have a problem.
We'll get Jeffrey's take on this in a second. I'm sure you have some ideas where that might be headed in a minute, as you've heard from him every Thursday for a long time now. Before we do that, I'll tell you, that as the football season is getting near, Locker Stockers is there to help you out. They will stock your locker or your suite at Vaught Hemingway Stadium this season. You place the order, and they handle the purchase and delivery to the locker or suite before game day. You can give them a call at 662-586-1487 or info at lockerstockers.com to take the hassle out of that way to make your game day more enjoyable.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. HarryAlexander.com is his site. Click on the Neighborhoods and Properties tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. Then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. How well do you know your credit? Well, Brian McLaurin is an experienced attorney offering a unique, highly personalized service to not only repair credit, but also educate clients on the ever-changing world of credit. He'll work with you for an entire year to help you create a personalized plan to raise your credit score to help you meet your financial goals. No one else offers this kind of personalized credit counseling. This is why Gambrell & Associates refer their clients to Brian to get a fresh start. So whether you're looking to fight off debt collectors, get approved for home car loans, or for that luxury credit card, let Brian McLaurin get your credit fixed and teach you on how to take control of your credit. You can contact him at bhmclaurinlaw@gmail.com or call him 662-298-2029. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals. Gene and Sandy Grass have been friends of mine, friends of this podcast, this site, for a long time. So if you're in the market for a Nissan, you should go check it out. I've done it numerous times, never had anything but a wonderful experience at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We mentioned that fall camp begins today, I guess. So Rebel Nation, you should know 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Now we'll go to Jeffrey Wright on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Jeffrey, good morning. Easy to pick out what's first up today. Plenty of Urban Meyer stuff yesterday coming through pretty much all day. It just kept getting worse and worse for Urban as the day went along. And I'm not sure if it was – I don't know what was more entertaining. Just the fact that, yeah, it seemed like every hour brought something new, or the fact that Brett McMurphy is still getting paid by ESPN yet put everything on a personal Facebook page instead of actually ESPN, which was getting killed by the story.
No, it's just such a – yesterday was such a sad day. It's just an absolute shame. Anytime you have someone who's as decent and as honorable of a man as Urban Meyer just going down like this, it just really makes you question whether or not there's a sense of justice in the world. And it's just, it was just, my heart hurt for him. You know, my heart really hurt for him. It was just, it's painful to watch someone like that. He just seems like such a good man.
What chances are we giving him to actually be Teflon and survive this thing?
Of zero. I think this was my thought yesterday. I'm sick of these people that are like that are just, oh, he wins games, so he's going to keep his job. Like, if you can't read the news, if you can't see all the people that are way more powerful in the grand scheme of things than Urban Meyer is, and you can't see how quickly these people are going down, I can't do anything for you. We are in a completely different day and age, and I'm not even making a social commentary on this. The moment that I realized this could easily be a Title IX thing, the moment I realized that at the end of the day, at the best excuse that he could have is, well, my wife didn't tell me, I knew he was screwed. And you can't harbor someone who beat the crap out of his wife for a decade, whether or not you knew about it or not. Like, if there's too many connections. And then once the pictures came out, it's just like, it's like anything else, man. When the pictures come out, you're toast. And good for them, because at no point did I consider that he was going to keep his job. And then I just know everyone's like, he wins, he's going to keep his job. It just doesn't work like that anymore, man.
So when Ohio State, because you and I talked yesterday, and they were silent for hours. Nothing was coming out. Nothing was being said. No statements. No traditional forms of crisis management as far as how you typically would handle that. When they finally did, it was the administrative leave and all that stuff. How do you feel like Ohio State handled things after being blindsided yesterday?
Well, to me, when they didn't say anything, that was when I, because mine, we actually, Jeff gave us a toss up on the show and he thought he'd keep his gig. And I said, absolutely not. When they never said anything, that was reassurance for me that he was done, because clearly to me, when they hadn't said anything, at best, they were scrambling and knowing that they were screwed. And then it was a lot like with Hugh. When we started hearing that there were meetings and they were going radio silent, that's usually a nice code word for, we're negotiating how to get rid of you.
So what's the timeline on this thing moving forward?
I would bet he's gone in 48 hours. I mean, usually these things, you know, now they're just going to argue about money, and then there is some type of clause in his contract that if domestic abuse is somehow involved in his firing, whether it be directly or indirectly, then he may not be owed anything. So I would imagine Ohio State's probably trying to figure out a way to get rid of him with the least amount of money possible being owed to him. So, but I can't imagine you can argue for that long over money. So at a certain point, I would think here in the next 48 hours, he's no longer Ohio State's coach.
Jeffrey can't hear me well enough for me to participate in this interview, but he brings up a really good point. There is a $38 million discrepancy in what happens if he's fired with cause and fired without cause. So what's going on right now, in my opinion, is very clear. Ohio State is making sure that it can prove that it's firing him with cause. And if it feels like it can't fire him with cause, they're trying to come up with some sort of a buyout agreement that is much closer to zero than it is $38.1 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. You've got to cross your I's and cross your T's and dot your I's, pardon the pun, with Ohio. But that's where they are right now with what do you do. And then the other thing is absolutely a Title IX issue with Urban Meyer's wife, Shelley. She's a registered nurse. She knew of abuse and did not report it. That's a fireable offense that can lead to the loss of her license, everything. I mean, not that her license matters in their household, but like Jeffrey is saying, for you to believe that Urban Meyer didn't know, you have to believe that Shelley Meyer did not tell him for at least 3 years, and that none of the other wives on that staff told their husbands, who then told Urban Meyer, for at least 3 years. That's as someone who's covered college football for 20 years and as someone who's been in a marriage for more than 20 years, there is no chance in hell that happened.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I get it. The coaching community is a tight-knit community in which they all – you know, they all stick together. That is about one of the most gossipy groups of human beings I've ever been around. Like, when people want to know how does this information get out? Because coaches are gossips.
He just goes off into obscurity, right? Jeffrey?
Sorry, say that again. I had Jeff come in.
Oh, no, sorry. You're fine. I said he just goes off into obscurity, right? I mean, he's going to be completely blackballed. It's over. You just fade off into the sunset, don't you?
Well, no, you can go over to Italy and coach a football team. Isn't that what Browse is doing?
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not taking pleasure I'm certainly not in a domestic abuse. I mean, if you read these details, it's horrifying. The guy beat the absolute crap out of his wife with a 3 and a 5-year-old sitting there in basically like the fetal positions. Like, this is it's a despicable, horrible situation. But Urban Meyer's a despicable, horrible human being. And yesterday was, I don't know, like, I can get really depressed when I see guys that are bad people that continuously dupe the public, and they keep these high profile jobs, and they keep making millions and millions of dollars. It's just nice to know that their day, like, I do think we've reached this point where your day's coming. And Urban Meyer had been on borrowed time. Read everything about Florida. We know it's a tiger doesn't change his stripes. Like, it's just nice to know that, you know, these guys can't hide in plain sight forever.
Here's the best example. In 2010, remember Chris Rainey, the running back at Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rainey was charged with aggravated stalking. He texted his then-girlfriend. I hope it was his then-girlfriend. Surely she's not still with him. Quote, time to die, bitch, end quote. You know what the punishment was with the Gators? He missed 4 games. Missed 4 games. There's a lot of people around Florida that believe that Urban Meyer actively participated in a cover-up to help Aaron Hernandez escape justice.
He shot a guy in the face in Gainesville, and nothing happened.
Literally served no suspension even.
You know that there was tons of cover-ups throughout his entire career. Now that this is out, does more stuff continue to come out? Does this become an avalanche on Urban Meyer?
I think so. Now, it could just be a situation where, like with Freeze, where they got him and it's just kind of over. You know what I mean? But this is what Neil and I discussed yesterday off the air. Everyone always asks, like, well, how does this come out? How does this come out? These guys are power hungry and maniacal guys that put out fires and manage, I use that in air quotes, these situations all the time. But go read a history book. All it takes is one time where you don't manage the situation and that brings you down. So we're, you know, I'm sure there are hundreds of other situations that could have been just as dicey for Urban Meyer that he managed, and he just, he made it go away and he took care of it. And when you start managing that many situations, you start thinking you're Teflon, man. And you start thinking when you get up and someone asks you about something, you just, you go on the offensive and you call that person a bad man. You know, you ask them what their core values are. And you just keep moving on. And all it takes is that one time where someone has a desire to talk and someone's got evidence, and then you're done. And like, we see that throughout history. Like, we never hear about the situations that they managed, because those are the ones that didn't have any impact.
While we're talking to Jeffrey, I'll tell you that Stacy Berry, the real estate agent to know in Memphis, in a specific property in the Collierville School District, 1252 Bray Good Drive. It's going to be an open house this Saturday from 2 to 4. You can give her a call at 901-481-6420 for a private showing, or just show up for that open house. It is a 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath with refinished hardwood floors, new paint, renovated master bath, space galore, including a kitchen and a gathering room that is enormous, a split bedroom floor plan. Also, you get a large office and a separate media room for your game day watch party. So again, 1252 Bray Good Drive there in Collierville, in the Collierville School District. To let Stacy know about your interest, 901-481-6420.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With that three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. It's almost tailgating time. Ole Miss opens the home slate September the 8th against Southern Illinois. It's the first of seven games in Oxford, four SEC games, of course, including Alabama and Auburn and Mississippi State. ULM comes to town. It's a huge, huge year for home games. Whether you're coming up for all the games, whether you're just coming up for that showdown with ULM, or whether you're coming up for just the league games, whatever it may be, 7 South Tailgating can take care of you. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail at 7SouthTailgating.com. Now back to Jeffrey Wright on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
You know, you would think that with Meyer, he would just eliminate the issues as soon as they pop up, and you get rid of Zach Smith and you do all these things. Why do you think the position coach had such leeway to get this type of loyalty from Meyer?
I think he probably knew state secrets.
Skeletons and buried?
Yep.
Good recruiter.
I mean, to me, that seems the most likely outcome. To me, the options are, because it's not like Zach Smith was an up-and-comer in the coaching ranks. I mean, you know what I mean? His entire career was with Urban Meyer. It's not like he was bouncing and moving around. So, to me, it's either one of two things. Either Meyer viewed this guy as some type of son-like figure, or Meyer knows that this guy knows where the guys are buried, or I guess the third is maybe he was just such an outstanding recruiter But to me, if you're weighing all three of those options, the most likely seems that he knows where bodies are buried.
Other than Brett McMurphy, did anyone cover this story on the straight up without making you want to roll your eyes at him yesterday?
No, but I mean, that's kind of the, that was kind of the other issue about this story. Like, this is a very, I feel like a relatively layered story. I mean, ESPN, Fox, the two biggest sports outlets, they all have contracts with the Big Ten. And more importantly, Ohio State is, whether it be football, whether it be just name brand, everything, Ohio State is good for business. And, you know, a lot of these people don't really want to, especially when it's not their reporter. Although I guess if you're ESPN, still technically you're paying the reporter. Also, shout out to Scott Van Pelt for having Brett McMurphy on.
Yes.
Yeah. Sports Center last night. Awesome for them. But man, it's a business. I think that was a business decision. I don't think that said anything to me other than we're doing what's best for business.
Yeah. You know, As I watched McMurphy do all that on Facebook, I kind of felt bad for his current employer that he hasn't started on for yet. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure,
I've already got a deal in place, but that is doing me absolutely no good right now.
Where's he going, the Athletics?
No, the stadium or whatever it's called.
He's been in a stadium, and they had the video. They had the video interview with Courtney Smith, so right. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, just.
I mean, I get it. I get it, but I mean, I think to me, I would be very surprised if Brett McMurphy pushed publish without stadium knowing.
Are they mostly all video, or is there written content there too?
My understanding is multimedia.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know how significant video is going to play into these new ventures, because it used to be everybody was just running video because they'd put a video at the top of something you wanted to read, and then you got the click money from it. But I mean, the Athletics, not video heavy, are they?
No video, really. No. Very little.
I mean, to me, these newer ventures that are, in my opinion, having, like, okay, even for instance, like, let's even go more new age. The Action Network, which is another subscription site, but it's the Vegas Information Network and whatnot. Mm-hmm. No video on that either. So, you know, forever and always, all these people were telling us, you know, the importance of video. The only importance of video was the people that were running the sites wanted money from it, ad money. So I started developing that theory like 4 or 5 years ago, because it was pressed upon how important it was. Like, even in grad school, how important video was. And I knew it was BS at the time, but you didn't really have the proof. And now, as we go on and on, like, we're starting to see, like, all you have to do is think about, like, what your natural instinct is. Like, even for me, who was, you know, significantly younger, I would much rather read something for 3 to 5 minutes than watch a 3 to 5 minute video. And this comes from the guy who was, for y'all, the video guy.
Fox Sports is still all video, aren't they? They made that switch like a year or so ago. It's been a complete and utter disaster, but I think they've stuck to it.
Well, their view of it is their place is essentially a platform for, like, clips, promo from all of their shows. Like, I have, you know, you look at, like, Cowherd's page, like, they'll put 2 to 3 minute videos of things that he said during the day. But, like, that's kind of what they do. They're viewing it almost as like their own little YouTube, if you will, for, like, Fox Sports content. Like, and then you can also go there to watch, you know, it'll send you to Fox Sports Go to watch games and stuff. But I mean, I don't even think they have writers anymore.
So, speaking of gambling and trying to predict, everybody's jumping on real quick. I don't know what else is going on, so we'll just do this because I'm curious your opinion. We haven't talked to.
I need y'all to help me out.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm now that, like, there is kind of like some justice in the world, and I'm now starting to have some hope. I mean, essentially, in a span of 18 to 24 months, the three of the coaches that I've hated the most have all lost their jobs in spectacular fashion, may I add. It started first with Art Briles, then obviously Freeze. Now Meyer, like, do I just like cling and hold on to dear life for hating Brian Kelly? I guess James Franklin also I need to include James Franklin in that. But like, are there two that I'm missing on just like Brian Kelly's a murderer and James Franklin needs to be on his knees every single night praying and thanking God. Of course, he probably prays to himself that what he went through in 2012 is not happening today.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, like you and I talked about this off air yesterday. Harbaugh bugs me, but he doesn't win enough to be on the list you're talking about. I mean, he is completely under expectations every single season. So in some ways, it's just more pathetic, and it's kind of hard to hate that guy.
Yeah, but like you, I don't know. Like I can understand the people that Harbaugh runs the wrong way, but at least from everything that I can tell, Harbaugh is genuine in what he is. He's insane, and he is a lot to deal with. But like the ones that I hate are just the frauds, the absolute complete and utter frauds. And the ones that they sit on Mount Pius and like when Urban Meyer would point his finger, you're a bad guy. You're a bad guy for reporting on the Chris Rainey thing and asking questions about Chris Rainey or Aaron Hernandez or any of the 43 other violent arrests that occurred at Florida under Urban Meyer or when Freeze would ask someone about his core values or when Briles would chase down the commissioner of the Big 12. Like, I can't stand the frauds. Like, those are the ones, and the ones that you know they're frauds. I don't really think that with Harbaugh. Like, is he overhyped? Probably. Is he an insane person that actually probably, like, to me, the story that came out this week, the juxtaposition of the story that made news about Harbaugh and the story that made news about Meyer, to me, is the complete, like, it was a nice little microcosm of why, like, what I think. Like, Jim Harbaugh is the guy that doesn't eat chicken because in his heart of hearts, he believes that there is a chicken conspiracy and it has made human beings weaker because it's a nervous, frightened bird. Like, in his heart of hearts, I actually think he probably believes there's something to that.
Is there? Go ahead.
And then Urban Meyer has been clearly harboring a domestic abuser, and all for like to me like that like that's the difference. Like, and Meyer, I never knew anything about it. And then you know, I believe he's called Brett McMurphy a liar too. Like, that's to me the difference.
Is there anyone in the SEC right now that gets close to your description?
Not really.
The closest, and I don't know how far this falls, but just all the cover-ups over there with Jameis Winston, is it Jimbo Fisher?
I guess, but yeah, Jimbo's probably the closest. But see, my deal is, I think that was less a product of Jimbo and more a product of Florida State. Like, I don't think Jimbo would have done all of that if he would have been the coach at Auburn. I think the environment of Florida State allowed him to kind of operate in those shadows and be that way. You know what I mean?
That's interesting. I've got to ruminate on that a little bit. At first I was going to disagree with you, and then I flipped to kind of agreeing with you. So now I got to think about it. I do agree with you that I don't believe institutionally Auburn would have been as supportive of Jameis Winston as Florida State was.
Could you hear him enough for that?
Not really. And hey, I got to run, so let's figure out a way to wrap it up.
Okay. Real quick, last thing. Jeffrey, Tiger have any shot at Firestone this weekend?
I'm going to just say no, only because he's got to hit a bunch of drivers and three woods and the tournaments that he's contended in, he's basically been able to hit iron off the tee. So I'll say no, but if he does, hip hip hooray, because that means he'll be in Memphis next year.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day. Talk soon. Thanks to Jeffrey this morning. I know he was pretty busy, but gave us a good bit of time on the podcast. The podcast brought to you also by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. You can head on over, sign an annual contract, take care of cutting, weed eating, edging, and more with you this year. Also, yard aeration, outdoor living areas, outdoor kitchens, fences, decks, and more there with MasterCut. They recently rebuilt a deck for me on the back of my house. They can do that for you as well. 662-607-7773.
Jeffrey Wright and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. As we've been telling you, maybe you're making that one last trip to the beach before school gets started. Maybe you're getting ready for your tailgate. Maybe you're getting ready for your road trip to Houston, Ole Miss, and Texas Tech in less than a month. Whatever it may be, Billy's Pecans has the treats for you. Cinnamon spice pecans are fantastic. If they're not my favorite, the toasted pecans are. They're great. If you want a sweeter taste, they've got you covered. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, and chocolate Grand Marnier pecans, all available as well. They've got the cheese crispies that are just fantastic. Southern pecan toffee, pecan brittle. My favorite, the cinnamon pecan coffee cake. They've also got the blueberry pecan coffee cake. That's an award-winning coffee cake. Triple delight, jelly, sauce, all sorts of stuff there at Billy's Pecans, billyspecans.com. Or you can give them a call, 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website at meganmphillips.com. That's M-E-A-G-A-N-M. Phillips.com or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float down option. So contact Jason at 662-234-2704, JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. I see we've got dates, Neil, for the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, $10 million winner-take-all.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be November 23rd or 24th, it looks like.
It's Thanksgiving time.
It is Thanksgiving time. Well, someone will be very thankful. They'll get $10 million. These made-for-TV events typically fall pretty flat. This one clearly has a little higher purse, a little more interest from that standpoint. Tiger Woods kind of seen as the more sympathetic figure for the first time in both their careers. I do think a lot of people are kind of still smarting from Phil's hitting the moving ball thing. I think that's affecting him a little bit in some circles. And then Tiger, you know, sentimental favorite at this point. So I'm interested. Of course, I'll watch. However, it's not $10 million of their own money. One dude's still going to walk out just as rich without losing a dollar than the other one. So while it's cool, while it's neat, while it's good for TV, it's not necessarily doing a whole lot for me. I would only really be really, really involved here if it was $10 million of their own money and they had to literally count out some bills on the 18th green when this thing was finished.
Yeah, I mean, neither one of them putting up their own cash. Nobody's walking out of there a loser. Someone's walking out of there a winner.
The loser's still, I bet, walking out with something.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Might be under the table, but something's coming his way.
And it's bragging rights. It's good for the game.
If you're Tiger, why do it? And I know you're going to say it's $10 million, but beyond that.
Because I think his public relations has changed. I think he has begun to embrace being sort of.
Or is even, maybe is it a no win or a no loss situation for him? Because, I mean, he's the best, he's potentially the best golfer ever.
Well, he's got to start thinking about his post golf life, right?
Okay.
And to do that, you've got to be personable. People want
But you subject yourself to potentially losing to Mickelson and letting him run his mouth for the end of.
Yeah, but you mentioned sympathetic. So you be funny, be a good guy.
Yeah.
Be a good guy. Who's got the brighter post-golf future in golf, covering golf, being in a broadcast booth? See, to me, it's Tiger Woods.
If he gives a crap, I don't know that he does. But
I don't know that he does either, but he might.
I don't see either one of those guys playing on the Champions Tour till they're 65 years old or something.
Oh, no. I see them coming back and hitting the first shot at the Masters in their 60s and 70s,
yeah,
and people caring about it the way that we cared about Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah. The next generation of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this numerous, I don't even know golf, and I've said this numerous times. If you're a professional golfer and Tiger Woods walks by, you should drop to your knees. You should drop to your knees and worship him in a way that is, because he made your, at least a significant portion of your living possible. Now, he did.
And a lot of them will admit that.
Of course.
You got a few jerks, but.
Yeah, but why would, most of them will readily tell you that. Yeah. That's why when Tiger Woods
Phil Mickelson says that. I mean, Phil laughs and he goes, yeah, I'd have a ton more majors and a ton more wins, but I'd have less money.
About
if
half,
Tiger never existed.
About half less money.
Yeah, the purse has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
What is happening right now? I mean, it's been a running joke in the golf world the last couple of weeks because the British Open's going on, and the whole time we're told, hey, Tiger's got to finish fifth or better to move into the top 50 in the world, which is just a computer program formula, and that would gain him access into the Bridgestone this week at Firestone. It's a World Golf Classic event, which only like the top 60 in the world or whatever, top 50 in the world get in.
The one that's coming to Memphis in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's in Akron, Ohio this year.
Okay.
So we were told the whole time, top five, tied for fifth or better. So he finishes sixth, and we're all like, well, he missed that putt. That's going to cost him. And then suddenly a day later, they go, oh, no, he's in. And I go, well, hold on. So you didn't have that mathematical formula done a week ahead, but now all of a sudden we found the formula was a little incorrect last week, and we repaired that. And for this tournament, I can't – I mean, it's probably – I'm sure there is a way to quantify this, but him being 50 and Russell Knox being 51 versus Russell Knox being 50 and Tiger Woods being 51 is exponential for this event and for golf this week.
Even Russell Knox would admit that.
Well, it was like the joke yesterday on a podcast I was listening to where they were like, you know Russell Knox, when he went into the week, he goes, I better finish 49th because if I finish 50th, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to put Tiger in this thing.
Well, here's the deal. Russell Knox could walk down the road and 100 people would be like, I have no idea who that is. Tiger Woods walks down the road and of the 100 people, 70 at least would know who that was. And of the 30 who couldn't name him, they'd be like, I know him somewhere. Who's that? And if he put on a red shirt and black pants, they would know him instantly. Oh, that's Tiger Woods.
You think more people would notice Tiger Woods if he put red and black on versus if he had other colors on?
Of the people who are extremely casual.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that's the day they watch. They watch on the championship day.
He walks down the street with a Nike hat on, and you go, oh, picture him a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. If what's his name, Knox?
Russell Knox.
If Russell Knox walked the square in Oxford, How many of the first 100 people to pass him would know it was Russell Knox and who Russell Knox was? Any relatives of Russell Knox are disqualified.
Look.
What would your guess be?
Well, it's zero or one because, I mean, it's that deal where the way you watch NBA, I'm sort of kind of embarrassed about the amount of golf I watch.
Okay.
And unless I was in the frame of mind that someone said, okay, a golfer's about to walk by you, who is it?
You don't get that. You're just walking the square on your way to Proud Larry's.
No, my head would not turn.
Okay. Tiger Woods walks the square of Oxford today.
Oh, more than half easily.
Oh, God, yes. And so, yes, to your point, if Tiger Woods wearing his black Nike hat and his red I'm chasing you down, bitches shirt.
Yeah, I mean,
and his black slacks. 100 people notice him.
And I mean, Russell Knox looks like any other just dude. I mean, there's no defining characteristic whatsoever. I mean, an elite golfer, obviously, but I mean,
you know how when on a little league team, the top lawyer in town,
like nobody's picking that cat out.
Oh no, he just looks like another dude. The top lawyer in town, his son somehow makes the all-star team every year. Yeah,
that was Tiger.
That's how life works.
Well, no, it was a computer formula, Neil. It just it.
Sometimes things get fixed.
You know, they probably went into something like 2 years ago and said, you know, he finished tied for 17th in that event. Let's just move that to 16th. Let's just switch it over a little bit.
We had a scoring error.
So he's in. He's in Akron this weekend. Tees off today at some point in the Bridgestone, an event he's won 8 times in the past, by the way. Had a lot of success there over the years.
Tiger Woods is so big that right now, today, this is like the only 3 or 4 days of the year that there's somebody in Akron who's a bigger deal than LeBron James.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
10 most recognizable athletes on the planet, both Tiger Woods and LeBron James make that list.
Oh, yeah. I had something Tiger-related to cap this off, and now I can't remember what it was.
You're like, oh, that was a hot take.
Well, no, it wasn't hardly a hot take. It just
no,
was
just he's a big deal. Tiger Woods is a big deal. He's, if you're a professional golfer, you're thankful for Tiger Woods, and if you're not, you're an idiot.
Oh, I was going to tell you, this is what it was. One of the better golf stats, just from a sports standpoint, you have to kind of appreciate this. So Tiger has been out of golf over the last 10 years, 3 to 4 years at times when you add it all up probably.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been healthy and real since 2013 for the most part. Until Dustin Johnson last week, Tiger Woods had the most wins on the PGA Tour from 2008 to present.
Really?
Tiger Woods.
Wow.
It's like he just gave everybody a 5 years off and goes, hey, here's a 5 years head start, and I'm still tied with you. And now I'm back. He's going to win again. I don't know if he's going to win a major, but he's going to win again.
I hope so.
He's going to win. He's going to win a golf tournament. There's no doubt.
I hope so.
I mean, he finished T6 or whatever at the British Open last week. He can win somewhere. Might be Akron this week. Probably not Akron. Ask Jeffrey that. Yeah. This course does not suit the 40-whatever-year-old Tiger Woods the way it suited Tiger Woods in the past. But nonetheless, everybody will be watching. They're in, and we'll go from there. Here's a question. So, fall camp beginning tomorrow. Two players. If you're Ole Miss and you could have two players dazzle in fall camp, who you picking?
Ooh, Scottie Phillips.
That's the free space, isn't it?
Josh Clark.
Why Clark over the other linebackers? Well, yeah, but why?
Because he can run.
Okay. From an athletic standpoint, gives you the best chance.
Yeah, I mean, I've covered this league a long time. You have two. You got to have some linebackers who can go sideline to sideline and make a play, right?
That is true.
There are some people on that team that I'm not convinced are athletic enough to do that, even if the defense clicks.
Clark needs a light bulb to come on.
Yeah, he needs to come on and shine pretty bright.
That's fair.
I would suspect that at the end of this month, John Summerall's voice will sound different than it sounds today. He's going to work hard. But, yeah, Scottie Phillips is your free space.
They need him bad.
Has to happen. Otherwise, you're one-dimensional, and you can't win that way.
You had your five questions going into fall camp yesterday. Was six special teams if you had to pick one?
Yeah, and I thought about doing six because, I mean, it's my column. If I want to make it six questions.
It can be any arbitrary number you want to be, I guess.
I can make 21. I'm the idiot with the deodorant. I got 21 questions. I thought about it. I think if we're addressing special teams at the end of the – man, you know, this punting deal, that'll tell me that everything else is kind of clicking and that they're better than I thought they would be. Does that make sense?
You feel like you're underemphasizing it then?
No, I think they're going to punt well. And I think
you do really believe in the punting game.
Yeah, he's good. And okay. I think kicking they're going to be steady from
40 and in.
40 and in. And then after that you're probably
And that's all you're really looking for. Anything else is bonus in a college game.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they've had some really good kickers, so they've been better a lot of years, but
you'll probably realize, man, that Gary Wunderlich, he sure was good. There's going to be some moments this year where you're like, man, I never thought I'd miss a kicker like this, but I miss him. Okay. I just think there's some bigger – when I look at that team, issue one really is just – and there's no way to write this in a cute question format, and I kind of included it throughout. It's just depth. That stat I threw at you yesterday, that's a real stat. Ole Miss cumulative won the first quarter and won the third quarter last year. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-6 team. They got popped cumulatively in the second quarter and the fourth quarter. That's depth.
They got tired.
Yeah, they don't have the bodies. That's the – when people say, well, the NCAA thing, that's where the NCAA thing is. It hurts your recruiting. Your class isn't as deep as it would have otherwise been. It's not the – and I get why we all do it. I do it too. I mean, I'm reading everything there is about Bryce Harper because that's sexy. Ooh, five stars. But your class is made from 8 to 25 with contributors.
why do you think you're so, I mean, and I know it's just you're a fan. Why do you think you're so hung up on Harper when he's having this kind of season?
Because even in this kind of season, he's hitting a lot of home runs. Even in this kind of season, he's drawing a lot of walks.
But worth the amount of money that's coming?
Well, he's a human. And that last contract year, you know, is pressure.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a great environment in D.C.
I mean, I'm not comparing these two. I'm just saying, like yesterday, if it had been announced the Cubs were trading for Andrew McCutchen, you'd been ready to jump off a cliff.
Yeah. But why? Harper's only 26 years old. The odds of this being...
Is he really only 26?
Yeah, he and Manny Machado are both free agents at 26.
See, I keep forgetting he just had the JUCO thing. So it's
yeah, he just played the 1 year
automatically
JUCO.
Up after that year at Nevada, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. He's in the bigs at 20.
Yeah.
Okay. I just look at him and I think, is there a chance this is him? There's a chance. It's unlikely. He's pressed. He's tried to do too much. I think you could see some of that at the beginning of the season when he walked into the first day of spring training. He said, this is the only day I'm going to address free agency. I'm not going to talk about it again. If you guys bring it up again, I'm walking out. In other words, this thing's really on your mind, huh, bud?
Yeah.
And I get it.
Urban Meyer going by the weekend, going by next weekend, going by the start of the season. What do you got? Where we going?
It's August 2nd. Again, it's $38 million. They've got to get it right legally. If you told me that the administrative leave lasted 2 weeks, I'd buy it. If you told me that by the time people listened to this podcast, he had been formally fired, I would buy it.
Okay.
The only thing I would not buy is that he's coaching again at Ohio State.
Is that maybe one of the more surprising things is how fast the freeze thing happened from the standpoint of losing a $16 million buyout?
Because
I get 16 is not 38, but it's both a lot of freaking money.
Well, Ole Miss was willing to fire him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And take him to court.
Which would have created a whole deal.
Well, they were willing to completely expose everything in those records.
Yeah.
With this, and Jeffrey touched on this a minute, and I'm going to stop with this. I think, and I mean this as a compliment, one voice is never as loud as two. Two's never as loud as four. Four's never as loud as 100. 100's never as loud as 2,000. You know where I'm going?
I do.
There was a lot of brave people in that Larry Nassar story. It took bravery, courage to stand up and admit what happened to you. To put your families through. There were parents who found out at the same time we did that their daughter had been sexually abused. And those people, their courage lent courage to more people. And I know there's some people out there that say, well, there's some false accusers. And there are. There's no doubt. And we should put the scarlet letter on false accusers in every bit the same way that we should put it on the people who do the abusing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Me Too movement has given a lot of women out there courage and strength and a voice and a support group. And they have spoken up. And this woman in Columbus who has spoken up, I venture to guess that she gathered a lot of the courage to speak up publicly, to sit in front of a video camera and give an interview and to talk to Brett McMurphy and to show him so that he could write her story correctly, show him the photos of the abuse that was incurred upon her. There's power there. I'll say this, if you're Matt Luke or any other coach, you're Joe Moorhead, whoever, today's meeting number one, you know, you get a certain number of minutes before in any meeting before people start to kind of tune out. One of the first things I'm saying to my players today, to my assistant coaches today, is let's be real. Let's be real. Your urine shows marijuana in it. I'm going to run your ass, and you're going to get another chance. You miss a meeting, I'm going to run your ass, but you're going to get another chance. You're involved in one of these things, there is no other chance.
You're done.
You're done. There's no due process. You're done. You get another chance on a lot of other things. You don't get another chance on this. You can go to Kroger and steal some charcoal. You're going to get another chance. We'll run your ass, but you're going to get another chance. You do this, anything like this, it's over.
Yeah.
And in this, and here's the second part, and you need to hear this, fellas. In this environment, I'm not sure that you even get another chance at the next level down. I don't know that Louisiana Monroe can take you. I don't know that UT Martin can take you. I don't know that Eastern Illinois can take you. And you know what, Chase? Good. Good. Because I'm all for second chances. Jeffrey and I were having this conversation. I'll finish with this. You're a guy. I'm sure you've done things that you're not proud of. We all have. You ever hit a girl?
Nope. No.
You've had breakups. You've had arguments. Right?
Yeah.
You're a guy, normally, 30-something years old. You ever hit a girl?
No.
You're raised not to hit a girl.
I've had one kind of swing at me, and you just move or whatever you do.
But you've never hit a girl.
No.
Just, it's a basic thing. And if I'm Matt Luke today, who I'm telling you is a really good guy, who I suspect has never hit a girl, I'm going to go out on a limb and
feel
predict.
Very confident about that.
I feel 100% confident. I'm saying that to my players. There's no special treatment here. I don't care if you're the starting quarterback or if you're the third string linebacker on this team, which means, whoa. You're not staying. You're out. You're out. No second chance, no process, no hearing, no conversation.
Done.
You're not dragging your counselor and your minister into the room. Nope, you're done.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. All good. Coverage today, rebelgrove.com, media day, beginning with actually Kermit's at 2:30 or so, and then Matt at 3:30. We get players and coaches after that as well. So that'll start trickling out to you tonight and in the coming days as fall camp is here. We've got through the summer football upon us soon. So we'll be back with our podcast tomorrow. Thanks to Jeffrey. Talk to you then.